How do you get God's approval? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. We're currently in a series as we go through the New Testament book of James. There is a lot of confusion that has come out of trying to interpret James as a book that tells us how to have eternal life. We're going to find out in this series that that's not exactly what James had in mind. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you how to get your hands on some great Bible study materials, so stay tuned for that. As of right now, we're going to the Grace and Focus studios with Sean and Bob. Here's Grace and Focus.
Welcome to Grace and Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're continuing this series on James, verse by verse, section by section. I hope that you're listening to the series on iTunes, Stitcher, at our website, or on this station. But I also hope that you're following along in book form. We've put a free ebook, A Shorter Commentary on James by Zane Hodges. It's available at our website, faithalone.org. You can listen to previous conferences that we've had. We've had a few on James, and you can listen to the audio from those conferences online as well. James is written by Jesus' half-brother to Jewish believers who were spread out all over the Roman Empire. We know that from the first verse, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. We also know from those verses that these are believers because James is concerned about the trials, the earthly trials that they're about to go through. And in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So the testing, these trials, test your faith, and ideally faith should produce patience. And in verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So basically, James, as a good pastor, wants these believers who are scattered across the empire, who are about to go through trials, he wants them to go through those trials and come out even better than they were before, spiritually mature, perfect, not in the sense of being sinless, but perfect in the sense of being a mature person. So the last episode, we said the first lesson of James about trials is when they come, you should respond to them by welcoming those trials. You're not just suffering for no reason. You're going through a trial in order for your faith to be tested so that it will produce spiritual maturity in your life. Well, now we're going to address a second response that James says we should have when we go through trials, and that's in verses 12 to 18.
And notice how he starts out with the word blessed, which is, as you pointed out in the introduction to James, James's wisdom literature. And the idea of blessing is found all throughout wisdom literature.
So let's read verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptations." Remember, he said, count it all joy. And now he's saying, blessed is the man.
So this is kind of a hinge verse looking back at 2 through 11 and looking forward.
"Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, first of all, we know this is not a verse about how to become born again. Because to be born again, there is one condition to be born again.
Right. It's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and also receive the word of truth, James 1:18, we're going to see in a moment.
Right. Receive is just a synonym for belief. But here, you need to love the Lord in order to receive this benefit.
Right. And notice what the benefit is. It's this word approved, approval. It's the Greek word dokimos, and it's used a limited number of times in the New Testament, but it's always directed to believers, and it's always the Lord's well done, the Lord's approval on one's life. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disapproved." Ah, dokimos, not approved. Well, here he's talking about approval for the one who endures temptation. That's a blessed person because he's endured temptation. That means he'll have the Lord's approval, and he's also going to receive this crown of life, which the Lord is going to give him.
Right. So some people think that once you're born again, once you're saved, God is just always happy with you, and there's just no room for growth, no room for failure. He just sees you, and he's just happy with you all the time. And he's happy with every believer equally, and there's no difference between people. But biblically speaking, our position is after someone has become born again, now they have entered the arena of service for God, and now they've entered this opportunity for either serving him well and getting his approval on your life, or serving him poorly and getting his disapproval.
Exactly. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. That's the approved part. You see the same thing in the parable of minas. Well done, good servant. Luke 19:17. There's approval for one who has done well. So the fact that we have eternal life doesn't mean we're approved. In order to be approved, we need to endure.
Right. And this approval has to do with eternal rewards. Once you have eternal life, that life is eternal. It goes on forever. You can't lose it. Once saved, always saved. What we're talking about here is approval that will result in rewards that the Lord gives you.
Right. He calls it a crown of life. And I think the idea is this is a sort of fullness of life. I think Hodges in his commentary takes this as having primary reference to this life, that God will reward us in this life. However, it seems that it certainly fits equally well with the life to come. In fact, you'll remember in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And here it's talking about those who love him. And he's promised this crown of life to those who love him. So yes, I think this is both eternal rewards and rewards in this life. And the point James is getting at is the blessed life is the life that's the approved life.
And what gets his approval is if you're a chapter 1, verse 4 person, someone who has become perfect and complete, lacking nothing, because you've gone through trials, you've persevered through those trials.
Exactly.
He wants them to be spiritually mature so that they get these rewards from the Lord when his brother, the Messiah, comes back to establish his kingdom.
But now there is a possible problem, because some people might say when they're going through a trial, I'm being tempted by God.
Right.
God's doing this to me. God's actually trying to get me to sin.
Right. So that's one response. You can get angry at God and think, why are you doing this to me? And then what does James say in verse 13?
Well, God doesn't do that. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You mentioned Job in the last broadcast. Well, Job is tempted, but not directly by God. God allows Satan to do that. But ultimately, God is not directly bringing about any sort of trial or temptation. And God only allows that in the life of Job because he knows ultimately this is going to produce a good result in the life of Job. And it's going to have an impact on generations of believers because everybody's going to read the book of Job and gain the insights they need.
Right. And so in Job, he's tempted by incidents created by Satan, but he's also tempted by his wife, and he's tempted by his three friends and by Elihu. But in verse 14, James has a different source of temptation in mind.
Right. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So the flesh within us is that which is actually responding to difficult circumstances in the wrong way. And we need to not give in to the flesh, because verse 15 goes on to say that there's a sort of a progression.
Right.
Then when desire has conceived, or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin grows up, and when it's full grown, it brings forth death. There's this sad sort of progression from lust or desire that results to sin. And when sin grows up and becomes mature, that is, when a person becomes overtaken by sin,
right,
it's producing death.
Literal death in his life. The thing about King David, he's supposed to be at war, instead he's staying at home. He sees Bathsheba taking a bath on a rooftop, and he lusts after her. So there's the lust, there's the
right
desire. But then that lust gave birth to sin. It gave birth to this plan of inviting her over and committing adultery
right
with her, and then having her husband killed. So that produces literal death. But
right
then what does that in return lead to? David complaining about his bones melting, his health
right
is failing him, his child ends up dying, and
right
it has all kinds of literal physical death consequences in his life.
Hodges, in his commentary on James, suggests the more we indulge in sin, the more full-grown sin becomes, the more we're inviting our own death. And you read the book of Proverbs, more wisdom literature,
yeah,
it's all about the fact that the way of ungodliness and wickedness is the path of death.
Sin hurts people. It hurts you. It hurts your neighbors. It hurts the people around you. It is deadly, and it should be exposed and spoken against, just as James is doing here.
Right. So then when he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, it looks both back to the possibility of being deceived, thinking sin is somehow something good, but then it also looks forward in the fact that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God is constant. Any good gifts we receive ultimately come from his hand.
He doesn't give temptations.
No.
He gives good gifts.
He gives good gifts. And the ultimate good gift is verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. That's the new birth.
Right.
That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So every time we remember we're born again, that is a reminder of the good and perfect gift, one of them, the premier one that God has given us. But it's also true that our health is a gift of God. Our finances are a gift of God. Our jobs are a gift of God. Our spouses are a gift. Children are a gift of God. So in the words which James is giving us, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, he's telling us about the blessings that come upon the person who endures trials and difficulties. That's the person who's going to be approved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person who's going to have the crown of life. And so when we experience difficulties, we don't blame God, we don't get angry with God, but instead we accept those difficulties and see them as an opportunity to be approved by Christ, to ultimately have eternal reward, which we know comes from his hand, just as the very gift of everlasting life does.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that wonderful discussion. What an encouragement to remember that when we face trials, it's not that God has abandoned us. Now, I want to tell you how to get your hands on a copy of a really great Bible study material that we offer for free. You can get it on our website. It's a free ebook called The Epistles of James, A Shorter Commentary by Zane Hodges. It's part of a series of short commentaries that make the Bible accessible and easy to understand. You can get it by going to faithalone.org/ebooks. That's faithalone.org/ebooks. You can download it right there and you can be reading it within seconds. In addition to this free resource, we've got all kinds of other free resources on faithalone.org. We've got teaching videos. We've got podcasts, which, by the way, you can listen to on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or right there on the site, faithalone.org. We've got lots of free ebooks, free blog posts, and Bible study materials. We've got all kinds of resources that can help you and your family begin to study the Bible together and grow. In addition to this, you may like to know that we do Bible conferences throughout the country. You might be interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace and Focus. If that's the case, that would be very much appreciated, and you can find more information about that right on the site, faithalone.org. If you've got questions, comments, or feedback about today's show, we'd love to hear from you. radio@faithalone.org. That's our email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to continue this series on James as we jump into the next set of verses. So join us for that tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.